The, well, let me just talk a minute. Paul was in a similar position when he was running around doing his Paul stuff. And it says that what his job was, he and Barnabas, was to confirm the souls of the disciples and exhort them to continue in the faith, and that we, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And so, the secret is not to care, not to mind. In Isaiah 11, go there. Chapter 10, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, such as are escaped of the house of Jacob. Now, whenever you see, you remember Jacob? Jacob was this guy that was always a usurper. He always tricked everything. He tricked his twin brother even before they were out of the womb. He lied to his dad. He fooled his dad by trying to act like he was Esau. I mean, he did everything wrong. And then one day he was confronted with a situation in which he spent the night wrestling with God. And it took place at a place called Peniel, because he's Peniel, meaning he's the face of God. He saw the face of God, and because if when you see the face of God you can't live, then out of you escape out of the house of Jacob and become Israel, the bride. Now, in verse 20, and it shall come to pass in that day. What is that day? Well, that day is the great day of the feast that we're about to celebrate. That the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay or trust or depend upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet only a remnant of them shall return. And the word there, return, is shub, and it means shall repent, shall turn from themselves. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. Now God has decreed a consumption. He's decreed a consumption on the whole land, including your earth.
What is a consumption?
No, and this just means destruction, to consume, to. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. Now, you got to come back to this thing, always and ever, that righteousness can only mean one thing to you from now on. The only thing righteousness can ever mean is that it's finished.
That's the righteousness of Christ.
Right, and that's when it says judge with righteous judgment. You judge, your righteous judgment is it's finished. That's the only righteous judgment that's possible.
That's pretty cut and dry.
Pretty simple. Okay. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of the land. That means that the consumption, the destruction that you're about to see, is determined by the will of God. Now again, remember, the secret is not to care. Now there's only one way you can't care. The consumption's function is to destroy you. Yeah. We're faced with a situation that we've never been faced with before, and that's what's the only thing that all of us have in common? The only thing that we have in common spiritually, and the only thing that we can ever judge spiritually, and the only thing that we ever have a right to talk about spiritually, is know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. And then he goes on to say in that crazy scripture in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, even if I prove to be reprobate, that doesn't detract from the truth.
That's a wild thing to say.
Now, the situation that we're confronted is that last night we saw it with Tyra. Today I saw it with Louis Escorbe. Louis has been essentially outside the camp from Bloom's group for God knows how long, 3 weeks or something. And so he came over, he had to talk. So he talks like he's, I said, Louis, what's going on? And it came down to fundamentally, the thing is, he wants to be in Bananas, he doesn't want to be over there. I don't know what the hell to do about that. We never faced it before, except to the reprobate seven, but that was sort of dealt with in mass. That's for the record.
for the record, yeah. Well.
But that was sort of a different deal. So, I told him that what he had to do, he'd never told John that. So I said, get back in your little thingy and go over and tell John that. Well, that was going to happen. I don't know.
Doesn't mean you're going to be in Bananas.
Write the movie for me.
Doesn't mean you're going to be in Bananas. I have no idea what the hell's going to happen. But I know one thing. I know that his spiritual and our responsibility to him is not dependent on whether or not he feels at home in Bananas or feels at home at Bloom's or whatever. Our responsibility towards him is, know you not that Jesus Christ is in you. I don't know how that manifests itself. A thing last night with Tyra. Tyra was only happened to be the quickest object lesson, but it was constant. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. The point of it is, you can't feel comfortable even in the doctrine. You're not supposed to feel comfortable even in the doctrine. You're supposed to get your bowels shaken.
What?
We'll find it. Bowels. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion. Now Zion is the name of the huge political movement that started in the 1800s to start the physical land of Israel. It's an order that has just risen, that's just become public in France. It's the oldest order in the world. It's called Paris de Sion. It's the oldest established organization in the world. Its purpose is to take over the government based on credentials, of all governments, based on credentials that go back to the throne of David. All kings in Europe, including Russia and the Tsarist movement, all of them got their authority because they claim to be Zion. Zion isn't a small thing. Zion is what controls Western civilization, the perception of Zion. The The question is, who dwells in Mount Zion? We know from the Psalms of Ascent that it's only they that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. So this is to those who trust in the Lord. Then they are on the physical mount. All right? Therefore, thus saith the Lord of God, the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. It's all kinds of, all the religious activities. He shall smite thee with a rod and shall lift up his staff against thee in the same manner as Egypt. For yet a little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. Now we'll, it took me forever to go through this, so I stopped and explained each of these slaughters, but believe me, it's not a nice scene. Now the secret of all this is that within you dwells the component of Assyria, dwells the component of Egypt, dwells the component of Midian, dwells the component of this rock of Oreb. That has to be destroyed. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. In other words, Egypt shall be destroyed, so shall this be destroyed. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Every single time you see the word anointing in the scriptures, it's the Hebrew word HaMashiach, which means because of the Christing. As long as you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision to fulfill the desires of your flesh, then the joy of the Lord is your strength. You've been anointed. You've been Christed. That's why it says in the Psalm of Ascent that how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's as the oil running down from Aaron, even from his beard, even to the tip of his, all the way. It's covered totally. The anointing oil. So that there's no thing else in your life save the anointing. Now, you can't share that with anything. All of the other alliances are going to be destroyed. The rock's going to, you're going to fall on a rock. And in that falling on that rock, you're going to be broken into small pieces. That's a shoe-in. I mean, it's a sure thing. If you don't fall on the rock's going to fall on you. That's not optional. Now, we'll see what all this means in a minute. He has come to Aiath. He has passed to Migron. At Mishmash he had laid up his carriages. And these are all the places in the spirit that are it's like the fact that he has laid up the munitions and the carriages and everything in these places means that we shall, if you can see it, means that we shall soon see in the flesh that which has been accomplished already in the spirit. All right. They are gone over the passage. They have taken up their lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid. Gibeah of Saul is fled. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard unto Lashish, O poor at Anthoth. Madmina is removed. The inhabitants of Gibeon gather themselves to flee. As yet shall he remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. All that can be summarized in 1 Peter when he said, judgment must first begin at the house of God. We must be, the judgment that we experience here must be so severe that there is room for no other thing save the anointing. You got it? Mm-hmm. judgment must first begin at the house of God. Now someday you'll thank me for it.
I know, but there's no way it could be any other way, because how can we minister to someone else if there's, you know, darkness in this vessel?
Well, you just go out and form another church.
Right.
Okay. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. He's doing it. He's shaking all things so that only that which is unshakable will remain. Now, in each of you, the manifestation of that shaking is different. The timing of it may be different. At any moment in time, one of you may perceive total consumption on the land. The next one may not feel it. It's part of the test as to whether we're a body or not. If you're a body, there's a very simple definition. If one hurts, everybody hurts. If one rejoices, everybody rejoices. All right. Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bough with terror. He's going to lop the bough, cut it off with terror. Now, of what? Of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. And the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. Now,
that reminds me of what he said with the leper thing, the hyssop.
Cedars and the hyssop. Now, that is a guarantee, not to just to you, to the whole world. Now, then what are we going to do? What in the world can be our response to this? I mean, this is terror, terror. When God says terror, you don't know terror. We're not talking about being afraid of a snake or something. We're talking terror. Oh, but God wants you to have... No, he doesn't. He wants you to come through terror. Why in the world would he have given you such a ridiculous rabbi unless he wanted you to be able to come through terror? What? What?
No. It's the international symbol of no God.
Come through terror.
Looks like he's taking a stand to me. What do you think?
Yeah. What's the rule of this?
Go ahead.
How do you
mind?
I would start in some terror.
I would strike the Mother Teresa pose.
Okay, here, let's see what it is. It's going to be our...
You're at the end of chapter 10. We're in very bad shape.
We're at chapter 10.
Not linger here.
Chapter 10 does not leave us in a good position.
Terry not at the end of chapter 10.
Well,
this is really the tearing down of all the walls. Yeah. Oh. Tearing down the walls.
Make it neat. Cutting down the
road. And there shall come forth a rod, a green shoot is what it says. Not like this rod, it's a little green shoot. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, or the stock of Jesse. Now what the hell does that mean? Well, Jesse was who?
David's father.
Who?
David's father.
And a branch shall grow out of his root.
There's over here at Lakewood Library, they cut down about a year ago, they cut down a huge tree that was real rotten, and they left a stump that's about 20 feet long in the ground, but it's ripped over and the roots are out of the ground. It's completely dead. But we went by there the other day, and there's green shoots coming up out of the dead stump.
There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Do you guys understand that even the most sophisticated of all the modern geneticists have taken back the science of genetics all the way back, and they have proven by using the structure of the genes and the chromosome to show that there had to be only one beginning mother.
Yeah.
Mitochondrial DNA.
That's a heavy concept. Do you understand? If your great grandfather had died at birth, where would you be? You'd be off in the ether somewhere. You'd be non-existent. You understand that genetically within you is the rod of the stem of Jesse within all men? Well, that's another story. Trust me on that one. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. And it doesn't matter what people tell you. It's all bullshit anyway. Doesn't matter what you see, it's all phony anyway.
Yeah.
The only way you can, and this spirit, this guy, this him here, where the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, is within you. This Spirit of wisdom and understanding is within you. The Spirit of counsel and might is within you. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord is in you. You shall be of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord that's in you. You shall not judge after the sight of your eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of your ears. Just as Christ in his silent years, slowly but surely, came to see that this scripture was talking about him, so you're beginning to see that this is talking about you. The only thing you have to see is it's finished. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Except it says in the Hebrew, the wicked one. Now, do any of you doubt the efficacy of the rod of your mouth or the breath of your lips? Just stop a minute and think, in my limited way, what effect I can have on you. Well, the same thing is to you.
Yeah.
All right. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, why does it keep talking about reins in the scripture? What the hell does that mean? No, reins means it's the source of your excrement. Kidneys feed the bladder. Your reins means kidneys. Kidneys feed the bladder. Bladder feeds the organ of liquid excrement. Liquid waste. Even then, it says, I mean, that's a mind-blowing thing if you could hear what it says. It says that faithfulness is the girdle of your excrement. In other words, there's no part of you that isn't walking in his faithfulness. Just as when you eat, your body automatically takes in what it needs and the rest is discarded, So in the spirit, you don't ever have to worry about whether or not you're getting it right. Now, if you can ever once understand that, you can take your eyes off yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's an analogy. Whatever food you take in the body doesn't automatically. Same as with the teaching.
Amen. I'm saying not just teaching, it's everything that comes in. You don't have to worry about getting it. As long as the body has come out of the womb, now the reason you're here now is you're still being breastfed spiritually, because all you're getting is milk. The only thing that I can give you, no matter how hard the word is the milk of the word.
Where then does the meat exist? Is that something that
the meat is exists when you're out there and you in it, you're all of a sudden you something with no input from anywhere else, all of a sudden something is clicks. Alright.
You understand the same thing, it is finished. I mean, we're saying righteousness is the same as it is finished, and that's all over this.
Amen. Now, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, but the kid won't get much sleep.
Targeting while you wait.
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be a repeat for those of you last night, but you can hear it again. The major thing that happened on the Feast of Tabernacles was the temple in Jerusalem was dedicated, and the Shekinah glory filled the temple. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire were given to Israel to be guided by them. After you celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in knowledge, you never again make a decision, ever. If there's doubt, you wait.
That's so much real.
If the doubt is removed, you move. Doubt, wait. No doubt, move. Cloud, down, wait. No cloud, move. Never, ever, ever, ever again will you have to make a decision. Now that's weird. It violates a whole bunch of stuff within your being. Except for Rex. Rex never made a decision in his life. Well, I mean, that's fine. That's fine. Some people have moved through life in this domain. I mean, I'm serious. It's possible, even in the natural, to live life without ever once making a plan. Okay, that's just the type of that office in the body. It's all right. There's some of you that can't go to the bathroom without planning it out. That also is all right. But either way, once the temple is dedicated, then the guidance, the guiding of your life is totally different. Once we take that pomegranate, that ethrog, which is your concept of the way things should be, and we smash it at the base of the altar on October 7th, then you don't have anything left to guide you.
Yeah, that was all well and good before I realized that the pieces and everything are really internalized now, that they're manifested openly among the body. You know, but now it's like, shit.
Oh, it's wonderful news.
What are we going to do?
Now, from then on, if there's doubt, you wait. It doesn't matter what it looks like to anybody else. If there's doubt, you wait.
Even among the brethren.
Well, when there's no doubt, you move. Now, that's the way you live. Okay, now you're an individual, and you're walking through life. If you don't have any doubt, you take action. If you have doubt, you stop. That's pretty difficult, but once you get it down, it's really neat. Anxiety is impossible. Then all of a sudden, God, this word shit, starts being a burning fire within your belly, and you have to start talking about it. And all of a sudden, God puts a whole bunch of other vessels that have doubts and questions and clouds up and clouds down. And we got to go. We got to get from here to there. But now, it's not just my cloud that I got to be concerned with. It's about 60 other clouds. Now we're going to make the kingdom of God a democracy. No. Now we're going to make a kingdom of God, the kingdom of God a democracy would just be chaos. Yeah, I got a better idea. We'll make the kingdom of God work so that the leader, he's the one that overrides, he's got a bigger cloud than you do. What?
Don't.
I don't want to hear about any stupid songs. So the question is then, how is a body of people led? God has a way that just screws you up more than you could ever dream about. And that is now that if there is one doubt in any of the clouds that are manifested in the body, the whole body waits. And what that means is the one weakest in the faith is the one that leads the body. And therefore, a little child shall lead them. You got it?
Okay.
Now, the implications of this are massive. But that's the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles that we're about to celebrate. When you're out doing your thing, you're out of the sheepfold. You know, the scriptures talk about the door of the sheepfold and Christ being the door, and you can go in and out. Well, when you're outside the sheepfold, you're out there feeding on grass and screwing around, you know, going over there and flirting every once in a while with somebody from another. Then the cloud is what's...
You need to be beaten for that.
The cloud is what's guiding you. The Holy Spirit is guiding you because you have escaped from Jacob. The anointing is now your guide. It's no longer. That's now for the first time you can begin to live by faith. The just shall live by his faith. His faith is manifested in this position. And it doesn't make any sense to your mind. I mean, you'll be convinced. I've lived this way for many years. A whole bunch of those years, I didn't even have enough money to eat. I mean, in Dallas, Texas, in the midst of everybody was booming and rich then. But I kind of made it. Somehow, not too sure that I could describe it to anybody. And then all these other people started coming around. And we've kind of made it. Well, now we're going to manifest or make seen this concept that a little child shall lead us. So the one weakest in the faith is the one that leads. Well, of course, they have to be in the faith. Now, you're going to try all kinds of shit. I can already see it. You know, this is going to be a great one to manipulate. But I want you to physically empathize and feel this. That when we take, and we take Pete and bunches of other people, whoever he can get to help him, are going to build this hopefully beautiful booth, and we're going to rip it apart. We're going to rip it to little shreds. We're going to burn it. And each of us is going to have a piece of that booth or tabernacle in one hand and a pomegranate in the other. Now, can you imagine a visitor? That those branches represent your earthly tabernacle. You see that it died in the week. 1 week it was nice and green and pretty, and then it died. Your outer man is perishing.
but your inner man is being renewed day by day. So as we, what the hell's going on? Am I that boring? Well, we'll take a break.
My rain.
Then we're going to take that branch in one hand, and we're going to take that pomegranate that represents all the images. It represents our perception of the law, the way a thing works, the way a thing should be. And we're going to smash that sucker against the base of the altar, and we're going to burn our tabernacle. And we have to have a way of being guided. Now it's only the anointing that can guide us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now let's...
I remember the scene in the movie, but also in Scripture, when the prophet was sent to Jesse to find the son of Jesse that would be anointed king. He started with the eldest and the strongest and went all the way through, and they were all not yet. And he came to the smallest and the weakest of the flock. He was the
eighth. It was the eighth one.
He
was
out
in the field.
Oh, yeah, it's much better.
All right. The reading for one of the readings for tabernacles is Isaiah 12. So go.
Good, I love this one. Tell me
Isaiah 26.
Now this Isaiah, this chapter of Isaiah is read during the ceremony of the pouring of the water and the wine into the altar, and it was read at the time that Christ was crying out, "He that believeth on me shall have rivers of living water." It was read at the time that the rabbis in Israel was in a state of ecstasy, some of them to the extent that they were dancing on their thumbs, which is physically almost impossible. But they were doing all kinds of other things that manifested joy and ecstasy within the temple. And Christ, in a sense, is saying, why have you so much joy from watching a little water and a little wine poured into a physical altar? He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, which produce joy unspeakable. So that's the scene that's taking place while this is being read. Amen? In that day thou shalt say, and that day is when the Feast of Tabernacles is fulfilled. It's already been fulfilled, but our minds have to be renewed so that we see it's fulfilled. By our obedience to that seeing, the finishness, not anticipating or needing anything else other than what the Lord has freely given at this instant, then we, by our obedience, cause this to take place in the flesh, in the natural. We bring time to an end. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my only salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my only salvation. Therefore with joy shall you draw out of the wells of salvation. And that's the reference. The well of salvation is the manifestation in the natural of pouring. You're priming the pump, is what you're doing when they're pouring the water and the wine into the altar. And Christ is the fulfillment of the pump. Now it comes at the mystical time, at this crossover, this horizon in you, in which you see that each day that we are alive is the wedding feast. And your concern turns from you to another.
And that was me last night. Alexis and I were out on the porch talking after everything that had happened. She was trying to list all the reasons that she wasn't upset because she thought she should be. And finally she got to the point where she said the real reason that she wasn't upset was because she was so concerned for Tyra that it didn't mean anything.
In that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name or proclaim his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. You got to finally see the only way that his name is exalted by your efforts is when you proclaim it's finished. If anything else brings glory to flesh, takes the name of the Lord in vain. You got to end up seeing that. Anything other than the declaration and not in everything that is finished, you are taking the name of the Lord in vain. Can you see that a little bit? And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, proclaim his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
And then he yelled out.
Right.
Wow.
Great is the Holy One, and that could easily be translated in Hebrew. Great is the Holy One of Israel within thee. And he's right there. Okay? Get a little picture of it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. See what else happened on this day.
Guys.
Okay, now what has happened now? But the people have been delivered from Egypt, and they've wandered in the wilderness. And they had jillions and jillions of battles. And they had the tabernacle of God was always carried wherever they went. And went and visited all these little high places. And then finally, the temple was constructed. And now the temple is finished and it's dedicated. Now this then is what happened on the Feast of Tabernacles.
Do you have any idea what happened to the
it was stored in the bottom. It was stored in the bottom of Solomon's temple. Okay? Start in chapter 7, verse 51. And this is what I mean by it's finished. And so was ended all the work that King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels that he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. And that's you. It's finished. Huh? Yeah. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month, which is Tishri, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for the multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark,
And the cherubim covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out of the holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark, save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. No man could minister because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Then spake Solomon. The Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thy heart to build a house unto my name, that it's well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all of the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father, that thou promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day. Now you are now the house, not built with hands. You got to see that. This is the prayer about you. That thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, My name shall be there. When Jesus said, He shall never leave you nor forsake you, he was saying, His name shall be there. That thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. Now the idea of them facing toward the place is where the Muslims and Islam get the idea that they have to face Mecca 5 times a day. Because Muhammad simply took pieces of this book and made the Quran. And
hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servant, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Now the good way, that's what it meant. Christ didn't use the way when he said, I am the way, by accident. The rain is always and ever revelation. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, wherever their plague, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hand toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all of the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for them, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Now this is transferred in the New Testament. Now we war not against flesh and blood. This is the metaphor. Now we war not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. And it's always here. It's never there. It's always here, never there. Then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. And thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captivity unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, We have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return or repent unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer, and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgression whereof they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people, and thine inheritance which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron. That thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance. And just to be separate means to be sanctified. To be sanctified means you're holy. It has nothing to do with your state of being other than that you're set apart. You've presented yourself the living sacrifice. That makes you holy. As thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord and from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised, that there hath not failed word of all his good promise, which he has promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherein I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require. And that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect or fully tested with the Lord our God, to walk in his statute and to keep his commandments at this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Our presentation is we present our bodies the living sacrifice. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of a peace offering which he had offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. The same day did the king hollow the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offering and meat offering and the fat of the peace offering, because the brazen altar that was before the Lord was too little to receive the burnt offering and the meat offering and the fat of the peace offering. That's mind-blowingly important, because it means that any place can be sanctified by the word.
Wow.
Any place is acceptable to present yourself as a living offering, a living sacrifice. And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all of Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering of Hamath unto the river of Egypt before the Lord our God, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. So he doubled the normal Feast of Tabernacles. He redeemed time. But then he did. And on the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went unto their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. What he showed by sending the people away on the eighth day was that this was only a type. This was only an architect's model. The real celebration was up the 15 steps, the Psalms of Ascent. You're seated with him in the heavenlies. So, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire was given on this day. The temple of the Lord was dedicated on this day. Now, your temple is to be dedicated on this day. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have anything else?
That's funny. One of the wild things about this prayer is he made, it's like he almost made this prayer face to face with God, because the temple was filled with the glory of God. There's no doubt that God heard the prayer. And therefore, there's no doubt that
Now, with regard to this business about a little child shall lead them, or the weakest in the faith shall determine our course, I don't know what that's going to mean for us in terms of how we do the stuff we do on Sundays. I don't know if it'll be, it could mean that we'll find out during the course of this week. But you've got to see, first of all, that it doesn't matter whether you've been here a day or 14 years, you're exactly the same. And if in a position you're weak in the faith, i.e. you're in doubt, confusion, then you will be our guide. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.